This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 19th day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss the agricultural cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Take a look at the potential price of soybeans, both to the upside and the downside, with Daryl Good, and discuss the weather forecast, too, that with the guys up at Earth Risk Technology in Chicago on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. December corn today down 3 3/4 at $3.73. The March down 4 at $3.83 3/4. And May futures 3.5 lower at $3.90 1/2. July 3.95 3/4 at 3.5 lower for the day. And December of next year in the corn pit down 3.5 cents. It finished at $4.01. Soy complex was lower as well. November beans down 7 1/4 cents, $8.91 the last trade of the day. January futures at 8.95 1/2, down 6.5. The March at 8.98 1/2, down 7 cents. May down 6.5. July down 6 3/4. November of next year down 4 1/4. Its settlement price at $8.98 1/4. Bean meal down $1.20 at $310.80. And the bean oil 46 cents lower at $28.14. Soft red winter wheat down 6.5 cents at $4.85 3/4. July at $5.01, down 7.5. And the hard red down 10 3/4 at $5.07 3/4. Live cattle futures finished the October at $137.80. They were $1.85 higher for the day. They're actually still trading. October feeders are at $194.65 at this hour, up 85 cents. And lean hogs at 12.5 higher at $65.70. In the outside markets, we see the agricultural energies with the ethanol a tenth of a cent lower at $1.52 3/10. Crude oil for the day at $46.04 a barrel is down $1.22. The price of gasoline, the wholesale price, 7 cents lower at $1.25 7/10 on the RBOB and diesel fuel for the day at $1.45 6/10. That's 4 cents lower. Natural gas at $2.44 1/10, a penny and a tenth higher. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
And thanks to all those folks who donated in our fall fund drive. Just a quick update there that on that Friday, the last Friday, not last Friday, but the previous one, we were hoping to raise about 50 of you. That would be a record, I think, in one single day so that we could meet a challenge, a personal challenge that I put forward as we were running a little behind. In fact, we managed to pull that off. 54 folks called in on Friday, the last day of the fund drive. Thank you so much to everybody who did that. If you'd like to donate, you can always do that online at willag.org or willpledge.org. The more important thing at the moment is that you buy some tickets. They're just $30 to our Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up in the month of November the 24th. That's the Tuesday. Prior to Thanksgiving, we'll be in Normal, Illinois at a really great hotel, the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, one of the best in the state of Illinois, as far as I can tell, for conferences. We were there last year, so this is our second annual Farm Assets Conference, and we have a great lineup for you. Of course, we'll have about 6 to 8 of our regular analysts there to take up the price of corn and soybeans, and we'll take up also big data, that with the Vice President of Climate Ag Services, that belongs to Monsanto. You might know it better as Field View or Climate Corp. John Jansen will be there to discuss just exactly what big data is, how it's used, and what you might want to protect. That's all part of the Farm Assets Conference. Your tickets are just $30, and they're available online today at willag.org. I'll give you a phone number a bit later in this program.
agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Tis the 19th day of October, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, the Closing Market Report. We're joined now by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take up the happenings in Chicago. Thanks, Kurt, for being with us today. Do appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Todd. Enjoy being able to help out.
Well, tell me a little bit about the soybean market. It began to fold a little bit today, though not dramatically. Still, I would think most farmers are thinking 7.25 cents is more low, more of a downside risk than they wanted at this point. Last trade was at $8.91.
Yeah, especially if you're holding beans or along the board and wanting the market to go up, yeah, it sort of stings a little bit. up, down. We're getting close to back to a 50% retracement in the range we've been in for the last 2-3 months. So we'll see how that unfolds. Had a decent export inspections report at 10 o'clock there. We shipped out 2.3 million metric tons. The high end was 1.8. Then we did see another confirmation to China, 238,000 tons. I think that was fairly well factored into the marketplace. Also, too, we're seeing some fairly good rain start to materialize in the southern hemisphere. Coffee futures really showed that Friday there last week as those rains start to come in. They've been dry in some of the growing regions of the southern hemisphere. And with moisture coming in, that gives the trade a little bit more confidence. They're going to be in a position to have a fairly good crop. Kind of old news, a little bit of a correction here of the run-up we've seen here in basically the last week and a half of trade.
So tell me a little bit more about these technicals in the soybean market. What are we looking for, and what are the signs that you might watch for either a further move to the upside or a breakaway to the downside?
Well, since we recorded the low here middle of September, we've actually been kind of making some higher highs and some higher lows. We had a little bit of an uptrend going here over the last few weeks. We got to a point here where the momentum indicators kind of got to the upper end of the trading range. Didn't quite reach some upside technical objectives, but last Wednesday's daily price reversal to the downside stimulate some profit taking, and ever since then we've sort of been making lower lows and lower highs, turning the short-term momentum down. From a technical point of view, this 886 area, about another 5 cents lowers halfway down, we'll kind of watch that area for support. You'll see if it catches there. Cycle count wise, we're still up. We're due for some cyclical lows here towards the end of the month, first part of November. So it kind of fits the rhythm, up and down type of sideways trading affair here with a little bit of a supportive feature here on these breaks.
What do you see in the corn market?
It had a kind of a point of do or die. We had some hook reversals up there off Friday's low, and the D's here at 72.5. We held here today. I imagine there's some sell stops just under there. But corn's actually approaching the lower end of the range we've been in ever since clear back in May. So we're kind of looking at these momentum indicators down here at the lower end that as corn harvest wraps up here in the next couple weeks as a nation, that once this crop's kind of put away and kind of locked up, it, the seasonal tendency to sort of bottom here in the fall and trend higher into mid to late December will catch hold here. So fundamentally, technically, we kind of like the corn market down here from a cash replacement point of view and from a speculative long point of view. As a large holder of cash corn, it's not going to be fun for another 2 or 3 weeks yet.
Turn your attention to the livestock and tell me a bit about beef cattle. There is a cattle on feed report due Friday this week, too.
Kind of. We reversal on fortunes. Seems since back in June, the market would do nothing but, roll over and go down and roll over and go down. And the main feature was the pork complex, a lot of export news in pork and momentum in pork, and beef just took it on the chin. But ever since 1st of October here, beef's been nothing but up. And October is supposed to be the month for pork, but it's been actually the month for beef. Consumer retail demand has picked up in the beef side. Export in the beef sector's kind of picked up also here. So we've seen a situation where we just did a complete 180 here in the last 2 weeks. On the beef side, this 143 level paces the December fats. It's going to be about halfway back up to the high we made last summer. Look for it to kind of stall out there. But we've seen massive hog cattle-hog spread activity take place here over the last year. Speculative crowd has done a large movement here of covering some shorts here. They were a little too short, a little too bearish. So just a lot of technical speculative activity taking place here. We just need to make sure the fundamental demand holds true as we go into late October.
Hey, thanks so much for the time.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Please do visit our website. There you'll find tickets, or at least a way to purchase your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. You can do that online at willag.org or go to farmassetsconference.com. The tickets are just $30, or you can dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. I'll repeat it in just a second. On the agenda, well, what's there? Big data, farm management, farm asset values, runoff and regulation and commodity prices. We'll take up, of course, how you unlock the value of big data, that with John Jansen. He's from Monsanto Group, VP for Climate Corp, the Field View folks. We'll take a look at farm management with Gary Schnittke. We'll discuss the value of farmland, that with Bruce Sherrick. He's with the Farmland Investment Center. That's part of TAIA CREF here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. And then we'll also talk about runoff and regulation, in specific, the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy. If you haven't heard about this one yet, you need to know. So please do buy your tickets right now for this November the 24th Farm Assets Conference. It's at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal, Illinois. That is on the 24th day of November. It's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. The cost is just $30. Tickets available online at willag.org or farmassetsconference.com, or just call 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. In today's agricultural news, China, the world's second largest corn consumer, is set to resume building new corn-based ethanol plants after a nearly decade-long ban, in a move that could help absorb the country's record stocks. Beijing barred corn-based ethanol in late 2006 on concerns over food security at a time of rising domestic corn prices. China has since shifted to using sorghum, cassava, and other non-grains to make ethanol. But expansion has been limited by a shortage of non-grain feedstocks. Reviving corn-based ethanol would use up damaged stocks while expanding production of the cleaner fuel. It could help reduce pollution, analysts and researchers say. China is the world's third largest fuel ethanol producer after the United States and Brazil, with output of about 2.27 million tons. Industry estimates suggest about a fifth of China's gasoline is currently blended with ethanol. Well, let's stay with agricultural energies for the moment. As harvest begins to reach its peak, the Ag Marketing Resource Center at Iowa State University offers farmers some critical information and research on market conditions for biofuels. Don Holstrand is with the Ag Resource Marketing Center. He explains what farmers can find online.
Gives a good look at how the profitability of these two biofuels, ethanol and biodiesel, are doing in terms of profitability, tracks revenue, tracks costs, and so forth. Then another aspect is we have every month or every other month an updated supply and demand analysis projected for the future, along with prices for ethanol, for biodiesel, and for the feedstocks for these biofuels. Corn, soybeans, and soybean oil.
Hofstrand says renewable energy is becoming an important part of the agricultural sector. He says you can find the reports online at agmrc.org.
Go to the AgMark website, and then there's a section you'll see on renewable energy. Click on that. It'll take you to the homepage for renewable energy, and on there you can subscribe to this newsletter. All you have to do is enter your email address, and you will start receiving it. It's free of charge.
The Ag Marketing Resource Center is located at Iowa State University. We'll stay in Iowa for the moment, where Sir Fazl Hassan Abad, a distinguished nonprofit founder and chairperson who has dedicated his life's work to fighting poverty, was awarded the World Food Prize last week among an international audience at the Iowa State Capitol in Des Moines. Sir Fazl's leadership has led BRAC to be hailed as the most effective anti-poverty organization in the world. Empowering and educating women and girls has been central to BRAC's success in confronting hunger and malnutrition and lifting millions out of poverty in Bangladesh and 10 other countries. The global reach of BRAC, that's B-R-A-C, is unprecedented, with more than 110,000 employees around the world. Let's move on to a different topic now. After a 14-year relationship, Syngenta is making Ag Connections a wholly owned subsidiary to accelerate growth of digital solutions and enhance whole farm management. Ag Connections provides farm management software solutions and works extensively with Syngenta on its AgriEdge Excelsior program, which integrates products, services, risk management, and technology for growers. The collaboration between Syngenta and AgConnection remains focused on providing growers better tools, they say, within their farming operations. And finally today, Ohio State University is looking for a little help. A soil fertility specialist with the College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences at The Ohio State University is looking to recruit growers interested in helping researchers update the soybean, corn, and wheat fertility recommendations for Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana. Steve Coleman, an Ohio State University Extension soil fertility specialist, is seeking growers to participate in a project to look at nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in soybeans, corn, and wheat as part of an overall effort to update the tri-state fertility recommendations. OSU Extension is, of course, the outreach arm of the college. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The soybean prices have been on a roller coaster over the past 3 months. The price swings reflect changing expectations about the size of the U.S. soybean crop, uncertain U.S. export prospects, and the potential impact of the weather as it relates to El Nino. Depending on how those factors unfold, soybean prices could move substantially in either direction over the next 6 months. Here's the case University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good says that can be built if one believes the price of soybeans will move lower.
The case for lower soybean prices starts with the expectation that the U.S. average soybean yield for the crop currently being harvested will exceed the current USDA forecast. That expectation is based on continuing reports of high soybean yields in many areas as harvest progresses. In addition, there has been a history of the final soybean yield estimate in January exceeding the October forecast in years when the September forecast was above the August forecast, and then again the October forecast was above the September forecast, as was the case this year.
That pattern has happened 11 times in the past 40 years, with the January estimate over the October forecast in 9 of those 11 years. Those expecting lower prices also point to the potential for another record soybean harvest in South America. Early estimates put Brazil on pace for a 100 million metric ton crop, a record breaker, much of which would be exported to China. That combination would point to U.S. soybean exports during the current marketing year less than the current USDA projection of 1.675 billion bushels. A larger crop estimate and smaller exports, then, would point to a larger year-ending stocks and, consequently, lower prices. Naturally, there is the other side of the market. the one that points to a higher price for soybeans.
The case for higher soybean prices starts with the expectation that harvested acres of soybeans will be less than the USDA's October forecast, limiting any future increase in the estimated size of the crop. The second argument for higher prices is that export demand for U.S. soybeans has actually been quite strong in recent weeks and points to stronger overall export demand. While current export activity is encouraging, the potential for U.S. soybean exports this year will hinge at least in part on the size of the 2016 South American harvest. Those friendly to soybean prices have expectations of a shortfall in production there based on the El Niño weather event.
This friendly stance is enhanced by what some see as the tendency for USDA to underestimate U.S. soybean exports early in the year. USDA's forecast of the marketing year exports for the month of October factually have been less than actual exports in 17 of the past 25 years. The difference was 50 million bushels or more in 14 of those years and exceeded 150 million bushels in 5 years. Finally, those building a case for higher prices point to the end of the El Niño. It could result in late summer weather that is adverse for U.S. soybean yields. As for Darrell Good, well, he sums it up this way. The uncertain soybean supply and consumption prospects suggest soybean prices may continue to trade in the wide range of the past 3 months. Fairly dramatic changes, however, would be required to alter prospects for abundant U.S. and world inventories and push prices above the high experienced in July. Prices at that level, he says, will likely only be generated by production issues that are not expected in the near term. Modest short-term rallies based on other factors, however, they're more likely. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check and see what's been happening out at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I am excellent. Have you been busy there today?
Yes, but we are slowing down. I think this will probably be our last week of significant corn receipts, but I think we're about half the pace that we have been. So starting to wind down here. Beans basically done.
How much you got on the ground?
We have 3.9 million bushels of corn on the ground. So more than what we thought we would have had to utilize this year, but that's a great problem.
Did you get your train in last week?
We did, yes. We actually got two. We had one show up Wednesday, one on Friday. We got a couple more headed for us this week, too.
Excellent. And what does basis look like today?
We actually have improved. Nearby corn is at 9 under, so we're 364 cash. January is at 378 cash at 6 under the March. Nearby bean basis has stayed consistent here for the past week, improved to 15 under, 876 cash. January beans at 879, which is 16 under the Jan.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Thank you.
Amy Sage, of course, is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies. They're in Chicago in the Mean Space. Why don't you visit our website and purchase a couple of tickets for the Farm Assets Conference, or you can just go to farmassetsconference.com.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Seafood Bisque Day. Some culinary historians believe the word bisque comes from the fact that this lobster, crab, shrimp, and crawfish soup is cooked not once, but twice. Others suggest the origin of the word refers to the Bay of Biscay off the shores of western France. On this day in agricultural history in 1688, William Chelsdon was born, an English surgeon and teacher. He was one of the first to describe the role of saliva in digestion. In 1781, Charles Cornwallis surrendered his army of some 7,000 men to General George Washington at Yorktown, essentially conceding defeat in the Revolutionary War. By the way, Cornwallis was so embarrassed by being bested by the Continental Army that he pretended to be sick so that he would not have to give up his sword in person. In 1917 in France, Salvation Army volunteers made the first donuts for homesick U.S. soldiers. The donuts became a symbol of the spirit of the Salvation Army's work to ease the hardship of World War I soldiers on the front line. In 1960, the U.S. imposed a partial embargo on goods exported to Cuba. And in 2006, the Dow Jones average closed above 12,000 points for the very first time. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's Monday, the 19th day of October. I'm Todd Gleason. Buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference online at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, or at 800-898-1065. Just $30, 800-898-1065. On the line with us today to take a look at the weather forecast now is Mark Russo. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago. Mark, normally I would ask you to tell me about weather here in the United States at this time of year still, because harvest would be in full swing, and it is, but the weather's really good. So let's turn our attention to South America, where they have been dry. Do you suppose things will change?
We do think it's going to change and have high confidence in that here, Todd. Yeah, as far as the details are concerned, the focus of attention in South America has really been on dryness that's evolved across Mato Grosso, their largest soybean producing state. That dryness now has been in place for the past month. In fact, looking historically, this has been one of the driest 30-day periods that we've seen across Mato Grosso in that northern soybean belt in west central Brazil over the past 15 years or so. That is going to change as we go into next week, and this ridge of high pressure that's now suppressing rainfall across Mato Grosso and interior Brazil, that's going to weaken, shift out of the picture, shift out in the Atlantic, and allow frontal systems to begin pushing northward from southern Brazil into central Brazil. And these frontal systems down south, that's been the focus of some frequent heavier rainfall in parts of southern Brazil. While that now begins to expand northward and begin to increase rain activity across the areas that need it the most here coming up. Again, it's not this week, it's next week. Everything is lining up for widespread significant rains across Mato Grosso. We're forecasting specifically about 1 to 2 inches of rainfall across much of Mato Grosso, some localized heavier amounts just next week. And we think even beyond the next week, the pattern will remain favorable for more significant rain activity. So bottom line, we see improvement here coming up, ultimately reducing the dryness concerns as we end October.
You mentioned it was one of the driest 30-day periods for this time of year they have ever suffered through. Come back to the Midwest for me on that note. It has been dry, substantially mm-hmm. so, across a large portion of the Midwest. How dry is it in our area?
Well, looking at the 30-day rainfall totals, at least, well, for Illinois as a whole, the vast majority of the state has received less than 50% of normal rainfall. And in around the Champaign-Urbana area, even some areas have picked up less than 25, even 10% normal. Overall, the driest part of Illinois has been more to the southwest, kind of centered near and around the St. Louis area. But it's Illinois, Indiana, Michigan. It's been some of the driest acreage, with only far western Iowa and parts of Nebraska seeing better rainfall here in the past few weeks.
And I'm sure we'll take up that more in the future. Thanks again today for being with us, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on a Monday afternoon. Helps us wrap up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Visit us online, wherewillag.org. Buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference, 898-1065. I'm Todd Gleason.